ladies and gentlemen. Martin Zender back with you once again, fearlessly telling the truth, fearlessly telling things how they are for 21 years in a row now. I make sense for a living, and I've done it for 21 years, and I don't plan on stopping now. In fact, I'm going to increase. I'm going to do more. I got plans. I got things in the works. I'm going to be more bold than I've ever been, and I'm going to call things what they are more than I ever have, and I'm going to be myself more than I ever have. So watch out. Most people don't get to this blessed place I'm at now until they're 85, 90 years old and in a nursing home. And then they finally get to be the people God meant them to be. They can finally drop all the pretensions and the social mores and the prevailing morality of the day, whoever decides what that is, and they can be themselves. Well, I have decided to start doing that now. Actually, I've been doing it for 21 years, but I'm going to become more bold as the days shorten and as these things need to be said. It was pointed out to me, I forgot to mention homosexuality. I'm going to get off this and get into the weapons of the Antichrist, but the Antichrist, now, this is related, because again, it's a white horse, and that's how what John saw. And this end time religion is going to set itself up as the ultimate authority on all things moral. It's going to be the moral authority. And of course, it's going to get everything wrong. It's going to swallow the camel. It's going to strain out the camel of the, okay. It's going to strain out the gnats and swallow the camels. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Isn't that so picturesque and true? That the Pharisees, they strained at all these non-essential details of what you could do on the Sabbath, how you couldn't do this, you had to walk this way, you couldn't say certain words, they just nitpick, and they tried to dictate your morality, tell you how to behave. In the meantime, they killed the Messiah. And they said that Jesus had a demon. And I think that's the best example I can give you of straining at gnats and swallowing a camel, or if you prefer to call it a camel. And that is exactly what Christianity is doing today. They are telling you about all the evils in the world, like naked women and beer. And in the meantime, they are driving people from God by the millions. And they have been in this business of driving people from God for 2,000 years running now. And in the Antichrist, they are going to perfect it to a quick, dried, crackly crunch. And they are going to be the slickest deception on the planet. And Christians will accept the Antichrist as if it is a present given to them with a red bow. And you know what people do with the ribbons? You take the scissors on a ribbon, you can like zip, you zip along the ribbon and it turns it into a little curlicue. Well, that's what the Antichrist is going to do. And that's what Christianity has done. They've dressed up the corpse. And another very appropriate analogy Jesus gave, they paint their tombs the most brilliant white you've ever seen. And then they decorate them and they sprinkle the tombs with incense. And they put fancy signs in front of it, like those little yellow daisies that spin around. Come to our church worship service, 7 o'clock. The Feingold Family Singers will be here singing your favorite hymns from days of yore. And it's also inviting. Come to our church. It can be your new home. And in the meantime, it's distended with the bones of the dead. It is suffused with evil teachings. The biggest, hairiest, most malevolent spiritual beings on the planet are there working their will. And if you want to get relief from it, go to the bar or the strip club, okay? And you will be cleansed from the unrighteousness of church. I would leave church. This is what I would do. I would leave church and say, I need to go to a strip club to cleanse myself from that defilement. And I mean that quite literally. Now, did you know that scripture doesn't even use the word homosexual? Yeah, it doesn't. I'm going to get to the weapons of the Antichrist here, I promise. Now, it's distinctly said what is evil in the sexual realm. That's Numbers or Leviticus chapter 20. Just go there. There's the sexual sins. They have to do with, watch the studio cam, the male part going into the female part, if I can be if I can use the Latin terms there, the male part going into the female part. It has to do with penetration, if I can, again, use a fancy technical Latin term. So the evil is men lying with men as with women. In other words, men putting that in there. And whenever homosexual men ask me, Martin, my God, we feel so condemned. Christianity hates us. Yes, they do, and they're wrong. Christianity is homophobic, and it's another distraction. It's another false enemy set up. You know, men do have tendencies sometimes to love other men, and they want to be with them and pet them and love them and squeeze them. And, you know, it's not my thing, but I don't condemn you. But it's putting that in there. That's the bad thing. If you have to show other men affection, can you somehow do it without putting that in there? Can you please? I mean, that's all I ask, okay? There's nothing, if you have the tendency, you know, I know it's a burden, and I'm sorry for that. Maybe God has given you that burden. If you can possibly not put that in there, that would be great, because that's the sin. That's the sin. Almost all the sexual sins have to do with penetration. I will use the French term there in case there are any squeamish people listening to me. As for women, lying with women, there's nothing against it because women can't penetrate one another. And no, we're not talking about artificial means. That doesn't count, okay? It doesn't count. Women can't penetrate one another. Penetration, no, avec the females. And in fact, since we're on this, in Romans chapter 2, Paul is not talking. Notice his wording here. No, it's in Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Romans 1, 26. Side issue, sorry, but some of you out there desperately need to hear this. Therefore, God gives them over to dishonorable passions. By the way, what causes that? Not recognizing God as God. That's another topic. Besides, the females, besides, alter the natural use into that which is beside nature. Let that stay there for a second. Look what Paul says next. Almost everybody thinks this means women lying with other women. It doesn't. Likewise, also the males, besides, that is, the males are doing something besides this, they're leaving the natural use. So the males are also leaving the natural use of their bodies, just like the females left it. Hang with me now. Were inflamed in their craving for one another, males with males, affecting indecency, getting back in themselves a retribution of their deception. And the affecting indecency is penetration, males penetrating one another. There's a term for these. There's the sodomites and the catamites. Sodomites are the proactive member of that male union, and a catamite is the receiving member of that male union. If you don't do that, then God looks the other way. He really does. Even now in the era of grace, he looks the other way. So you can, I don't recommend this, but if you do that all day, you're not going to screw up your salvation. That's what the Christians don't get. They think that homosexuals damn themselves to hell. That's ridiculous. It's another false enemy set up by Satan and using the Christian world to do it, because that's where he's working his most diabolical things, through religion, especially through the Christian religion, because it's the most deceptive religion. Because, Martin, they use the name of Christ. The name of Christ is there. The cross is there. And yet Jesus says, many will say to me, Lord, did we not do wonderful works in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we fight the homosexuals in your name? Didn't we drive pornography out of Walmart in your name? Didn't we shut down that bar in your name? And he will say, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. And then it's going to be seen what they really did in his name. Until that time, grace covers where sin increases, grace super exceeds. So men who are inflamed for one another in my audience, nothing you can do can screw up your salvation in Christ. I will tell that to you. Paul says that now, but some things will keep you from enjoying an allotment in the kingdom. That's a special place of ruling and reigning. You might not have that if you're going at it in and out, day and night, in and out, day and night, in and out, day and night. Very bad. Don't do that. I recommend you not do that. But even if you do, you're still saved because you're part of Christ's body. And he calls people such as you. And that's what he does. He loves it and enjoys. He enjoys it. Now, back to women. There's no such thing as female homosexuals in the Bible. Women who were laid with women were not condemned. They weren't stoned because they can't penetrate one another. I forgot to use the French term. No pénétration. no penetración for the femme. So, and it's a beautiful thing. I don't know. I see two women, two beautiful women kissing on the screen, and I love it. I can't take my eyes off. There's something very beautiful about women exchanging intimacies. And apparently God thinks so too, because he doesn't prohibit it. Nowhere does God prohibit intimacies between females. I don't know if I've ever taught on this. I taught it in print, but I don't know if I've ever spoken about this. So this is great. I am happy for this opportunity. In fact, even grandmothers will smile when little girls play with each other's hair and they comb each other's hair. And it's wonderful. 10-year-old girls, 11, 12, 13. They comb each other's hair, put lipstick on each other. It's so cute, so adorable, and it is. Now, if two 10-year-old boys were to be combing each other's hair, the grandmother would send them to their rooms, or the mother or anyone else. The legal guardian would dismiss them summarily and keep them apart forevermore. So why is that? Because nature itself teaches you that females showing intimacy toward females is a beautiful thing. Everybody knows it. Only religious people deny it. And it's a there's a reason for it. That's your instinct kicking in, and Scripture agrees with your instinct. Read Leviticus 20. I dare you to find it. So what is Romans talking about? Romans chapter 1. How do females alter the natural use? Go back to Leviticus 20. It's just a repetition of that. There were some females who were being penetrated by animals. Yeah. Horses, I don't know, dogs. Yeah, basically. So that was forbidden. Or to use a German term, which I prefer here, verboten, verboten. Don't do that. So that's altering the natural use of that female receptacle for something that was not meant, like a horse. If you see a horse smoking a cigarette, it means it's just had an illicit interaction with a human female. It's not good. So that's what Paul's talking about here. Because you notice the wording is different. He says the females do that which is beside nature. He's not as specific as he is when he gets to the males. Men craving one another, effecting indecency, getting back in themselves the retribution. That is the disease that comes with that. I'm Martin Zender. This is what I do. I'm happy to be able to illumine you, enlighten you, and make you less condemning, I hope, towards other people who are saddled with problems and burdens. You have your burdens. You know, so why throw rocks at other people that have their burdens? I hate religious apostasy. I'll go after that tooth and nail. But if you're a sinner, if you've been saddled with some thing in the flesh, then that's God's responsibility, isn't it? I know many of you who have prayed to God to be delivered from whatever is vexing you. You've been on the floor weeping, snot running out of your nose, crying out to God to change you. And you get up from that floor and God doesn't change you. And you realize, huh, I guess he still wants me to have this thing. Good. I hope that's what you're saying, because it's true. God has the power to change you, does he not? He's God. So if he doesn't change you, in spite of your pleas, then I will assume, and I think logically so, that he doesn't want you to get rid of it. The Apostle Paul had the same problem. He had a demon in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he prayed for God three times for it to be removed. And I used to think three times was the formula. Pray three times. And if God doesn't deliver you after three times, then you're meant to have it for a while. But no, Paul would have prayed 300 times. It just so happened that God stopped him after the third time, you see. And said, that's enough. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, if you look up every instance of grace in the Greek scriptures, which I, your host, have done, you will find that sin goes right along with it. Grace is the answer to sin. Paul's thorn in the flesh wasn't an eye problem. It wasn't a physical infirmity, because he would have boasted about that. He boasted about his physical infirmities, all the trials and tribulations he's been through. But sin would have driven him nuts, because it would have ruined his testimony, and he would have wanted to have been rid of it. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So Paul was a sinner just like we are. He learned how to deal with it. He learned the superiority of grace, and it allowed him to write a great book like Romans, specifically chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, dealing with sin. If you have problems, go to the ZWTF, my newsletter at martinsletter.com. Read the Romans series. You will get peace for perhaps the first time in your life.